Blog Talk Radio.
You are about to listen to the Roman Show,
the most informative show in mixed martial arts and pro wrestling on the net. Award-winning journalist Rodolfo Roman tackles and gets down to the nitty-gritty of the sport with exclusive interviews. Sit back, relax, stay up to date. Let the Roman Show inform you. Call in live to participate. 714-868-0222. Let the Roman Show begin.
In MMA, news, fight results, interviews, live event coverage, podcasts, and video capsules. All this and much more in Spanish. Find all your MMA needs here inside El Octágono, the number one source dedicated 100% to MMA in Spanish. ElOctágono.com.
Welcome everyone to another edition of the Roman Show. Tonight we talk to mixed martial arts. Joining me on the line, my co-host Orlando Villafaña del Octágono. How are you, Orlando?
Doing good, man. Paying a lot of close attention to the Marlins game today, seeing them go against the Cubs.
Oh, man. Yesterday, I know they kicked some butt. They've been two in a row, so hopefully they make it three now. We sure as heck need that stuff. But, Brandon, we're going to get ready, kick into gear, as we're going to welcome our guest of the evening here tonight on the Roman Show. And it's Alexis Davis, who is joining us right now on the line. She'll be fighting in Kansas City, July 28th, against Hitomi Akano. How are you, Alexis?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. Thanks so very much for joining us here on the program and taking some time. Now, you're just a few days away from your fight in Kansas City against Hitomi, a highly ranked fighter herself. How are you preparing for the fight?
You know what? I've been keeping pretty busy. I'm out in California now, but I've been working a lot on my stand-up for this fight. She's a southpaw, and I've only ever fought one other southpaw, so making sure I'm working that a lot into my game. And you know, she's got a pretty slick ground game, so jiu-jitsu is something that I'm constantly training regardless. It's, you know, my passion, so just watching out for those quick and slick transitions.
And that's right, Hitomi has a great record in herself too. You guys are going to be going at it. Both of you guys are ranked very high. And now you were saying about her groundwork, that it's well known. You're working on the stand-up game, and she's a softball. As a fighter for yourself, how do you prepare for a stand-up softball? Or if in the middle of the fight, she should change to the other side?
Well, that's I'm making sure, and it's always good, you know, no matter who you fight, to practice both. You know, I have a lot of guys are coming out and they're training with me that are natural southpaws. I got people that are, you know, standard and switching up for me, and you know, and then going back, and just something about, you know, working on your angles and your movements, because you know you gotta utilize different things when you fight a southpaw.
And it's very tricky. I mean, I used to wrestle, and I know that when I would face a southpaw, you know, you have to shoot in the other leg, and it's kind of annoying.
Yeah.
If you're a righty, you know.
Yeah,
especially
it's like
after
totally
you're in a fight.
Yeah.
So
in wrestling classes, and I was making my, you know, my partner stand southpaw, and it kind of like throws you for a loop at first to get more used to it.
Yeah, it gets a little obnoxious, and you have to shoot with the left instead of the right, which you're used to, so it definitely could get you out of the loop. With that being said, Brad, do you have a question for Alex?
Well, yeah, I mean, and it'd be an obvious question. I mean, with the Invicta FC and being like an all-women's fight card, what are your thoughts on the promotion itself and what it's doing right now for female MMA, which, I mean, by one of the biggest names in the sport, like Dana White, has always been highly doubted. to be so mainstream. But Invicta's obviously done a good job. What are your thoughts on a promotion, you know, pushing so hard on female MMA?
Well, I can understand somewhat of Dana White's concern that he's, you know, worried that there's not enough, you know, depth in women's MMA. But now we have, like, these promotions like Invicta, and they're really showing, you know, there's not just, you know, because everybody knows, like, a lot of the mainstream fighters. You know, they know the, you know, the Ronda Rouseys or the Chris Cyborgs or Misha Tate, you know, Sarah Kaufman. But there's all these up-and-coming fighters or fighters, you know, that have just been in these smaller promotions that haven't gotten recognized. And I think what Invicta is doing is really kind of bringing them forward, especially, you know, it's giving a huge opportunity for a lot of the amateur fighters, you know, to start their pro career or, you know, to get those couple fights that they need to kind of grow. And it's, you know, not just showcasing the same mainstream fighters, but, you know, saying, you know, we have so many, you know, 115-pounders, you know, there's more, you know, 145ers out there than a lot of people can recognize. But, you know, the huge category, of course, is the bantamweight, the 135. And there's quite a few on this card. I can't remember how many, but it's showing that, you know, there's a lot more depth than I think, than not just Dana White, but a lot of people, you know, recognize.
Definitely, definitely. Roman?
Well, Alexis, one thing I was noticed here, and I had a tweet actually from one of the followers here on the program that mentioned this photo shoot you had for this fight. And he wanted me to ask you about the experience with this photo shoot that took place. And it's actually, you can head on over to pexonwmma.tumblr.com. And you can see some of these pictures out there by the gentleman of Aaron, who took these pictures. So he wanted me to ask you the experience and what it was for you.
Well, I've done photo shoots before, but, you know, this one, you know, we wanted to play with a couple different things. And, you know, it was a great experience. And, you know, give me, you know, a couple more months down the road and, you know, hopefully we'll get more. But, you know, it was kind of cool to do. So, you know, I was kind of excited. I had somebody there doing hair and my makeup and wardrobe changes. So it's, you know, I laughed at some of the comments when I was talking to my other roommates. And I'm like, yeah, I kind of clean up nice when I don't have blood on my face.
Which is one thing, you know, you ladies, you know, you're beautiful. And not only are you beautiful, but you're talented inside the cage. So, in your opinion, how do you feel like Aranda Rosie, who appeared on The Body's ESPN magazine and a very beautiful girl herself, but what does it mean to you as a female fighter to have a lady like herself, very good looking, a great fighter, to put her name out there and to possibly even put the name for women's MMA?
Yeah, you know what? I think it's good. No, not everybody. You got to do what you're comfortable with. You know, I don't know if I go naked or not, but yeah, you never know. And, you know, as long as, you know, you can kind of be respectful of yourself, and then, you know, I don't have a problem with what anybody else does. You know, if it can be done tastefully and, you know, everybody's into different things, and it's getting women's MMA, you know, promoted and out there. And I think a lot of people don't see the softer side to a lot of the fighters. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we're not just, you know, I know I live 23 hours, you know, in my workout clothes, you know, training and, you know, working out. But, you know, a lot of us like to go out and we like to look good and, you know, get a little bit mm-hmm. of love from everybody. So I think it's kind of showcasing, you know, it's not just one side. Everybody kind of has, you know, a different look to them, a different, you know, a softer side to their own parents.
Do you think it helps sport for a women's MMA? You think it helps it?
Yeah, you know what? I think it does because, you know, what I think, you know, a lot of people want to relate to fighters. So, you know, not everybody can relate, you know, to someone sitting in their gear all the time or face, you know, smashed up and getting hit or tapped out or choking someone out. And, you know, we're just regular people too. Like we like to go out, see movies, go to the club, or you know, it's kind of showing that, you know, we're a little bit more diverse. So I think it helps, you know, people kind of relate to us more, and you know, and feel comfortable seeing different sides.
Well, Alexis, let's talk about your career as far as when it comes to MMA. Again, you're fighting this coming July 28th, Kansas City, at the Memorial Hall. You get your ticket to Ticketmaster.com, where you can visit InvictaFC.com for more information, and you will be the co-main event of that card. Now, Hitomi Okano, you'll be fighting her. Now, you recently fought Sarah Cuffman, who happened to be your first fight ever when you got into the sport, and then you had an opportunity to overcome that, but what did you learn from fighting Sarah, a former Strikeforce champion herself?
You know, I knew going into the fight that it was going to be a tough fight, and it was, and it was a great fight, I think, for both of us. And, you know, I think it helps with a lot of things. You know, you can always be disappointed in your fights, but as long as, you know, you learn from your mistakes and, you know, can, you know, recognize things that you need to work on. And, you know what, I think it, even though it's a loss on my record, I still feel like it was a win because I think, you know, it showed a lot of heart and showed, you know, a lot of skill in what I can get out there and do. And, you know, I'm only going to get better.
And from what you learned from that last fight of yours, what are you going to bring to the table to Hitomi? Some of the mistakes that you made in that last fight that you'll perfect and better yourself when it comes to fighting Okano July 28th?
Just like, there's a lot of things that I always need to work on, you know, working on, you know, my wrestling, like you're saying, for example, or, you know, even my footwork, it gets better every fight, but, you know, it's something that you've got to constantly keep on. And, you know, I look at, you know, some of my footage and I'm like, you know, I should have did this, should have that. It's hard to react when you're in the moment, you know, with all that adrenaline kicking up. But, you know, yeah, even my ground game, you know, it's something that I've been, you know, I'm always working on, but you can always get better.
Now, I know Randall mentioned to you as far as the Invicta FC and your thoughts on that, but, I mean, you've also fought in Strikeforce, which promotes women's MMA, but what would you say are the differences between these two companies when it comes to women's MMA?
Now, you know what, they're both run very well. Like, for Invicta, like, with Shannon and ladies, you know, running that promotion, I was there for the first one, you know, helping out and cornering Sarah Snyder, who's fighting again. But they run the promotion like they've been doing it, you know, like this is their 152nd one. It's run very smooth, and, you know, they kind of have that same, you know, mentality how they treat fighters as Strikeforce. You know, I can't complain fighting for either one of them. It's a great opportunity, and it's huge. You know, Strikeforce may get, you know, a lot more media, and, you know, they kind of pump it up to a higher volume. But, you know, Invicta, you know, they're just starting out, and they've already taken, you know, huge leaps in just the media world and, you know, really helping to promote women's MMA.
Gotcha. Randy, you have a question for Alexis?
Yeah, I mean, Roman mentioned earlier about the rankings and how high up you've been ranked in those rankings. I always like to ask fighters, like, what their opinions are when they hear that they've been ranked, and if it adds any extra pressure to you. I mean, knowing that people are viewing you as a specific number in your level of skill, like, does it add any more pressure to the fight day to make sure that you make the impression that you deserve that kind of a ranking? Does it add any of that to you?
I guess it does and it doesn't for me personally. You know, when it comes down to the fight, nothing really matters at that time other than, you know, the fight itself. But I look at the rankings. I look at the ranking all the time. I'm like, oh, damn. I was like, after my Coffin fight, I was bumped from like 4 to 6. And I'm like, oh, man, I just want to be at number one. So, I don't know. I guess it kind of pushes and motivates you, you know, to kind of reach up there. But I definitely feel like I push myself more and more no matter what fight I have.
Absolutely. Well, Alexis, again, she's fighting July 28th against Hitomi Okano. That's Invicta FC 2, and you can visit InvictaFC.com for ticket information and card information, or Ticketmaster.com to purchase your tickets. July 28th, Kansas City at Memorial Hall. Alexis, would you like to say something else, something we didn't ask? Would you feel you want to get out there?
Oh, yeah. You know what? I just want to say thanks to, you know, my family. You know, they're messaging me today, you know, all my friends and, you know, my training partners. You know, I've had a lot of great training partners since I've been out to California. And you know what? And I do apologize, but I got to thank all my sponsors, and I got a whole list of them. I want to make sure I thank RYU, Planny, 7AD, Dom Fight Gear, Bloody Knuckles, Fight Twisted, Tussle, Fight Chicks, Brawl Base, House of Pain, Fight Soap, One Coconut Water, Slit Lip, even having Max Muscle, Watching My Nutrition, Clench, Orange Photos, and Max Panty.
I must agree that I love
Vita. What's going to look like?
Seriously. But, you know, I must agree. I love Vita Coconut Water, so kudos to that.
Yeah. You know what? I was just excited, like, just to have the free coconut water, because that stuff, it's really good for you. All natural.
Man, it is, and literally, if you drink it out of the coconut, it's even better. But if I'll be okay with Vita coconut water. Hey, Alexis, are you married, or do you have a boyfriend?
I do. I do have a boyfriend out here.
Tell me how hard it is. I mean, to have a relationship as far as an MMA. Is he a fighter himself?
You know, actually, it was funny because I was just talking to him. It gets kind of hard because. Especially when you get close to the fight, like right now, and, you know, you get kind of stressed out a bit, you're starting to, you know, think, I need to work, ever since, you know, I started fighting, I always think right before my fight, I should have trained more, I'm training like 7 days a week, 6 days a week, but you can always train more, and, you know, it's hard, I imagine it's a lot harder on him because of, he gets to hear all the complaining, but, you know, I just got to keep sometimes a little bit more distance the closer it gets to the fight because, you know, it's just easier that way.
So, but I mean, he goes out to the fight and he watches you in action and so forth. Does he train with you at times?
Sometimes there, but you know what? It's hard for me, and I'm really weird when it comes to, like, fight time. Like, a lot of the times I don't like my boyfriend, or even sometimes with my family, I don't like them there as much. You know, I don't mind seeing them after my fight, but just, you know, the pressure knowing that they're there, you know, I'm kind of, this is another thing on my mind.
And I can imagine that, especially, I mean, you know, I could just picture myself, you know, like a mom or something worried about it. But if it was my girlfriend fighting, boy, you know, what happened to you? And, you know, oh, my God, they're going to mess up her pretty face or her hair. But I put my feet in his shoes, and it must be pretty tough on his end.
Yeah, you know what? Even, like, after weigh-ins or, like, fight day, for me, I just kind of like to chill out, you know, kind of by myself. I'll sit in my room or I'll listen to music, and, you know, I just kind of like to keep it kind of mellow.
No arguments.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Although you could carry that into the cage. It could help, no?
I guess, you know, take a little bit of anger and frustration on your opponent.
Well, Alexis, thank you so very much for taking some time and speaking to us here. And good luck on your fight July 28th in Kansas City at Memorial Hall. And anytime you want to come on the Roman Show, the mic is yours.
Oh, anytime. Thank you so much, guys.
Thank you so very much. Have a good night.
You too. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye. All right, Rhonda, there you go, my man. Alexis Davis telling us a little bit about how it is to be a mixed martial artist and have a relationship there. But what do you think? Would you be okay with having a girlfriend being a mixed martial arts artist, Randall?
I don't know if it would make me less of a man to say that I'd be scared.
Yeah, right?
You know, cause, I mean, if they're more lethally prepared to, you know, really mess up my face and possibly break my arm or break a limb on my body. Yeah, I'd have that fear of never trying to stir up any arguments. Like, oh, you want to buy a purse? Go for it. $300? That's fine. That's fine. I have no problem.
You will get choked out.
Yeah,
but
yeah, exactly.
If any guys are out there who happen to have a girlfriend who is a fighter or trained to become a fighter, we'd love to hear from you, man, because I'd like to hear the males take on this. I think it's an interesting topic, and you could tweet it to us at RomanDH or using hashtag RomanShow, or just send it over to our email, and we'll read it out loud here on the program today or the next show, RomanDH@Yahoo.com, because it's an interesting point to see that. You know, I've seen some of the relationship, you know, Cyborg, her husband is a mixed martial artist. They were actually, both of them were in the body issue not too long ago, maybe about 2 years ago, I think it was. Christine Cyborg?
Believe
roughly
so. But I mean, it's always an interesting thing to see a couple that's actually married or both involved in the sport.
Mm-hmm. And we'd love to hear from you. So, again, if you you happen to be in a relationship with a lady who is in mixed martial arts or training, please call us in at 714-868-0222 is the number, or go ahead and tweet it to us at RomanDH. Now, the number again is 714-868-0222. Well, Randall, we got lots to talk about here tonight, and I'd also like to mention that the first week of August, we're going to be welcoming another beautiful and talented lady, Misha Tate. Misha Tate will be on the program on the Roman Show that first Wednesday of August, which I believe is August 1st. I believe it's August 1st.
Yeah.
August 1st, yeah, Misha Tate will be here on the program talking about her upcoming fight. And I know she mentioned something about Randa Rosie saying she was a hypocrite. You have some information on that, Randall?
That Ronda Rousey saying that Misha Tate was a hypocrite?
No. Misha
or the opposite.
Tate. The opposite, correct.
Misha Tate saying that Ronda was a hypocrite?
Right.
I have no idea.
Yeah.
I haven't heard that yet, but...
I was actually on El Sabano. Who's running
maybe
the
maybe it was. Hey,
who's
hey,
running
hey,
the
pick?
I don't know.
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah,
Misha Tate calls. Yeah, she calls Ronda Rousey a hypocrite for posing nude.
Yeah.
I don't understand why it would be a hypocrite move. I mean,
and
did
you know,
Ronda ever say anything?
And that's why I even asked.
Yeah,
that.
I'm looking into it now.
Yeah, and while you look that up and give us the feedback on that, Ronda, I'd like to mention the next week we're going to have two gentlemen here on the program, two fighters, Rock George and Phil DeRue. Rock is actually fighting in Alabama at the Fight Party, and Phil DeRue is fighting for RFC 27. That is next week here on the Roman Show, and perhaps another guest. What's up, Randall?
Okay. Yeah, I think I found out why. I think it's because actually Ronda Rousey attacked Misha Tate because she did something similar. And she said that Misha Tate should be ashamed for taking pictures that showed off her pristine hind end and what her future kids would think and so forth and so on, that those were statements that were made by Ronda Rousey about Misha Tate. And now, you know, Ronda Rousey obviously herself posed the nude. So, you know, I guess that's where the hypocrite, yeah, that makes sense now.
Right, which does, you know, okay, Misha Tate has an upcoming fight.
Yeah.
And Ronda Rousey, you know, she has an upcoming fight as well. She's going to defend her title. Now, are they just built? Is Misha Tate just a little bitter? Or I mean, we would love to ask it. You know, really get asked for this when she comes to the show. But is she a little bitter about what happened with her and Ronda Rousey? Or why is she coming up with this?
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. I mean, I guess there's still that
some heat there, huh?
Yeah, I mean, that never really got settled. Even at the end, they still kind of went at each other. So, I mean, it is what it is. I mean, Misha Tate at least gave Ronda respect at the end after the victory, you know, that Ronda had over her. But, you know, Ronda still kind of said, you know, at the end of the day, I'm not upset that I almost broke her arm or that she, at the moment, everybody thought she broke her arm.
Right,
I mean, I guess there was still that heat between there. And let me correct myself a little bit better. It was a tweet that Misha Tate put out. She was, anyone else think it's hypocritical for Ronda Rousey to talk crap about ring girls in Playboy, but it's only fine to pose artistically nude?
Ha ha. There you go.
And then obviously people were reacting to it. So she tweeted back, well, what's the difference between a pro female athlete and a ring girl? I'd say a ring girl's jobs are solely based on sex appeal, so it makes more sense for the ring girls to pose nude than it does Ronda. Yes, she talks crap about them.
Oh, man. Wow, I got to hear from Misha Tate. If we were to get both of them here, dear, that would be even big ratings there, guy.
Oh, no. I don't think we'll be able to speak between YouTubers. That'd be a promo battle right there.
Oh, yeah, huge. I don't think we'll be able to get it between there to stop those girls. They'll go at it.
I think we would have to, like, we would have to hang up and listen ourselves live to Block Talk. Let it roll. Yeah, exactly.
Well, hey, guys, remember, guys, InvictaFC.com is the website. Again, special thanks out there to all the folks at Invicta FC for allowing us to interview some of the talent. Alexa Davis against Hitomi Okano. That's July 28th in Kansas City. You can go to Ticketmaster.com to purchase your tickets. And that's at the Memorial Hall in Kansas City. You don't want to miss it. And when we had Shannon Knapp here on the show, I believe she said, and I could be wrong, but I'm pretty sure that's what she said, that they're going to be streaming the fight online on the website. But if I'm wrong, then you can go ahead and blame me. But make sure you visit InvictaFC.com.
No, yeah, you're right. She did stream live on Invicta itself on the page itself. And that's what they did for the first event, which is also the big plus, you know? I mean, for people who can't go there and see these fights, they're still allowed some way to see it. I mean, at least until Invicta is able to maybe crash into a nice little TV deal. I mean, at least for now, we can still get it by web stream, and it's free. So, I mean, you can't beat that at all.
And we also had last week here, Randall, one of the main eventers, Baszler, who will be fighting as well in that main event. So look out for all those ladies out there. They're going to be putting on some good performances. The first card was phenomenal. I actually took a glimpse of it, and it was nonstop. And, you know, at times the ladies just give it more than the men, man. I don't know what it is. I guess I'm trying to remember who it was, but it just keeps my mind. It might have been Jessica Aguilar, but they said that, you know, they go in a lot more harder, I guess, looking for the word.
I think it was Jessica. She expressed that, you know, I mean, plus you got to imagine how much harder it is. And it's not even trying to be like, I don't even want to say profiling, but, you know, it's harder for women, you know, in the sense that even in work areas and especially fighting, you would imagine it'd be a lot harder because, I mean, not too many people would appeal to that in an original sense, like in a regular mind, you know, thinking about women fighting. So it's always harder for them, and they want to go ahead and showcase that they are one of the greatest athletes when it comes down to it, that, you know, it's nothing wrong to see a woman go in there and fight their heart out and give it their best and really give everybody a show and entertain a whole entire crowd to the point that they're more exciting about a female fight than they are about a male fight on the card. So, and it happens a lot in those Bellator fights when they come down here and Jessica's on that card. Those fights get some of the bigger uproars than a lot of the other fights.
Yeah.
You know, so it comes down to that, you know, they have to push that extra mile to really get around a lot of people. And exactly.
Mm-hmm. And again, Sarah McMahon versus Shayna Baszler, who we had here in the program, those two will be main eventing at the Invicta FC 2. Again, InvictaFC.com is the website, Ticketmaster.com, and Kansas City in Memorial Hall, that's going to be taking place. Randall, we got lots to talk about, but since we were talking about calling out people and before we go to break, our good friend, Hector Lombard, already getting in the midst of some heat. Now, he originally was set to fight Brian Stann, but that didn't go through after some issues there with some injuries. But he was rebooked now, and he's going to be fighting this Saturday, and he's fighting Tim Boyce. So he goes on to say, though, that if he defeats Tim Boyce, he doesn't want Anderson Silva. He says he wants Mark Munoz. Now, mind you, Mark Munoz was defeated last week, last Wednesday. And in a very, I mean, at the point, it just pretty much manhandled at the end.
Where did he say that, though? Because we just had him on our show, and I was talking about this weekend, and he told a completely different story.
Well, this is being reported by MMAJunkie.com.
We interviewed him on Sunday, and on Sunday he told us that he feels if he gets the victory over Tim Boyce, that he deserves a direct shot at Anderson Silva. I mean, there might be a beef factor there that maybe Mark Munoz stated something and Hector Lombard wants a piece of him or something like that. Maybe it has something to do with that. But I mean, and we actually have an English translation of the interview on the page itself. So, I mean, it's what he told us specifically was that for him, it's Anderson.
Well, here it is. According to MMAJunkie.com, he said that he wants to fight Mark Munoz next, even if the UFC offers him a title shot with Anderson Silva. And I quote him, "Saturday, I'm focused on this fight. And after that, I'm going to call Mark Munoz out. I'm focused on the fight, but I'm going to call out Mark Munoz after. That's my goal. I'm going to make a statement no matter what. But after that, it's a little redundant here, but I'm going to beat up Mark Munoz." Lombard said Munoz, who a week ago suffered a brutal knockout loss, has been running his mouth about him, and that Lombard said has rubbed him the wrong way. And I quote Lombard, "He's been talking a lot of trash about me. I'm one of those fighters that I don't like to talk about any fighter. I'm focused on myself. When I see people that do the wrong things, I have to do something about it."
I knew I had to do something with that because it's too odd for him to tell us, you know, that he wants Anderson Silva and then all of a sudden come out saying he has Mark Munoz. So there had to be something in there to make that statement. And, yeah, I mean, and Hector Lombard is one of those kind of people who, I mean, he had that issue with Josh Barnett, you know, that there was a little bit of a beef there. He said, you know what, I don't care what's next for me. I don't care that he's heavier than me. I don't care about any of that. I want to beat him up.
Yes.
And, you know, it could be a similar situation. I mean, obviously, I don't think he's going to turn down a title shot if it's given to him. I mean, he'd be relatively very stupid to do that. And I don't think Hector Lombard would run that way. But
yeah, I don't think his coaches will let him do it.
But I think it's one of those things. You know, if you say something about somebody in there and you're going to be like, okay, yeah, you want to say all that? Well, let's go. You know, I don't care if he just lost. Let's do it.
That's the latest there, I guess we're going to have to see if he defeats his opponent and if he does actually say it, but if he does, then it'll be interesting, man. I don't know about that. Also, I'd like to mention here, the XFC, the Florida-based promotion. In fact, we had the president here, Mr. Prisco here on the program, John Prisco. He said, you know, many have said this. Many promotions, many promoters, many presidents have said that, hey, sooner or later, we're going to take over the UFC. We're going to be number one. One of them being Elite XC. And there are other several promotions that have stated that sooner or later, they will be number one. So, Mr. Prisco, and again, I'd like to reiterate, we had him on the show about 2-3 weeks ago. That's when I was writing solo, Randall. But, he stated that they had some big things going on in XFC, and they do air on HDNet. But in an interview with one of these websites, these MMA websites, he stated that in the next 5 years, XFC will be number one. Now, XFC started off in Tampa. They had a major attendance there. In fact, they broke a record at one of the arenas there when it comes to MMA. And now they're in Tennessee and in more of the southeast area where they have all these fights. And at times they have some fighters that were in the UFC or they were in Bellator or other promotions.
Former big names.
Mm-hmm. But Mr. Prisco says that in the next 5 years, they're going to be it. And in fact, he also stated there was a mention here, I believe it wasn't the official XFC Facebook, saying that ESPN likes XFC. And that kind of grabbed my attention, man. Because we all know what happened with ESPN and the UFC.
Yeah.
As far as, you know, they did a whole report and it wasn't even liked. So you can catch this. In fact, it's a video, it's an audio, actually. You can see, in fact, I'm going to go ahead and tweet this stuff and share it. But it clearly says it there. John Prisco says he believes XFC will be number one in 5 years in talks of the next generation fight. Do you think it's possible, Randall, that a promotion like the XFC could take out a big dog? And, you know, I hate to bring in pro wrestling, but this reminds me of the whole good old WCW and WWE ECW wars.
I mean, to me, I'll use the best example. Bellator. Bellator itself has been pushing and been knocking on that door as far as we can believe and think of right now. They're the closest thing to having anything near what UFC would possibly have, and it's not that close. You know, that's the sad part about it. I mean, you see these Bellator shows, they don't sell out completely. They're on a great network when it comes down to Spike and the MTV and everything that they've had going for them, but it isn't enough to cross that bridge with UFC. And HDNet, you know, they've done a lot of backing of MMA, but it's not one of those channels that is heavily purchased, and it's not one of those channels that really, I mean, unless there's somehow some way that I see XFC getting on a network channel, on something that's going to really be open to the public, I don't see that happening. Because if they're going to be on HDNet, that means you have to buy that channel. And, you know, not so many people want to do that. And that's the one thing about it. But, I mean, I don't know. I mean, it's hard to believe that XFC believes in 5 years, because Bellator has been pushing for how many already? And they still haven't been able to cross that road.
They came out 2010? 2010, I think, was the first Bellator show? Yep. 2010, if I'm sorry.
Yeah, so 2 years they've been pushing at it. And, you know, I mean, they've got great shows. First episode ran in 2009, April 3rd, 2009.
Oh, 2000. Okay, 2000.
Yeah, April 3rd, 2009. And that was their first actual
show. It was in Hollywood. Yeah, Hollywood.
Yeah. But, you know, that's the thing. Like, I mean, you see a promotion like that they're the closest thing that you would call to the next largest mixed martial arts promotion. And XFC, I don't even see them on the Bellator level, just because you have to wait for something really big to happen in XFC to be there. And, you know, it's one of those things that, I mean, it's a harsh call, but you never know. I mean, maybe that's good publicity for them to make that kind of statement.
It could be, and I'm going to go ahead and share this video on Twitter. There you can see it on at Roman DH. I'm going to go ahead and share. Randall, we're going to talk a little bit about more of this subject in a little bit, and then we're also going to talk about Quentin Rampage talking about that he dislikes Chael Sonnen. I'd like to see that fight. I don't know about you.
That'd be an interesting fight, huh?
It would. Let's go to a quick commercial. We'll be right back.
Did you see a picture of him? You saw a picture of him hanging out with King Mo after all the trash talk?
No, I'd like to see that one. I got to check that one out. Hey, let's talk about that just a few minutes after a quick commercial break.
Check out the latest news and the coolest interviews on The Roman Show every Tuesday and Wednesday at 10 p.m. Eastern Time. Visit us on RodolphoRoman.com or check us out on Twitter at RomanDH. Check out The Roman Show on Facebook. Visit Facebook.com/TheRomanShow. Like us and make sure you spread out the word about the coolest and hippest radio program on the internet to date. Check it out, facebook.com/TheRomanShow. The Roman Show has captivated the sports fans' attention in a fast pace. Therefore, join the Roman Show family by sponsoring us. Send us an email to romandh@yahoo.com. Join this growing family as it grows quickly. Send us an email right now, romandh@yahoo.com, and notice the exposure your company will get. Again, email us at romandh@yahoo.com to sponsor the coolest and hippest program on the internet, The Roman Show. Catch up with any past interviews on The Roman Show by visiting our website, RodolfoRoman.com. That's RodolfoRoman.com. Catch up on all interviews in the past The Roman Show has conducted. And if you happen to like the current show, check out The Roman Show tomorrow morning on RodolfoRoman.com. You have a business, but you have no money? Well, no worries. OchoaOnline.com has you covered. Head on over to OchoaOnline.com for the best prices. And trust me, when it comes to internet websites, these guys know how to do it. OchoaOnline.com will help you set up the best quality-based website for your business or company. OchoaOnline.com. Visit them right now at OchoaOnline.com. That's OchoaOnline.com. The official sponsor of The Roman Show website, OchoaOnline.com. Want to win some money while you watch the big fight this weekend? Head on over to countermove.com. That's countermove.com with a K.
You're listening to The Roman Show, the hottest radio sports program on the net. Call in live at 714-868-0222 or tweet us live at RomanDH. It's The Roman Show. AllOutMMAGear.com is your best source for MMA gear and apparel. Use code RomanShow and receive 15% off your next purchase. And don't forget to follow us on Twitter at AllOutMMAGear and on Facebook.com/AllOutMMA for the latest on merchandise and special offers. AllOutMMAGear.com, from Miami to the world.
All right, Randy, we're back here with Maxion here on The Roman Show. Randy, you there? Randall, are you there? Okay, so Randall should be coming up soon here. We left off. There you go. Now Randall should be coming in.
You hear me now?
Yes, it was unmuted here. You know how it is. So we left off.
Why are you trying to silence me, man? You can't be silencing me. I need to speak my mind.
You got to lay the pipe bomb. Oh, man, I'm excited for that Monday Night Raw. Hey, by the way, and I'd like to say this here on the show, next Monday, Randall, and I know we got the whole thousand Monday Night Raw, and you and I are going to be glued to the TV, but on the Travel Channel, Randall, yours truly will make an appearance, and Andrew's there in Bizarre Foods. Yes, sir. We'll be out there.
Did you indulge on any?
Did I what now?
Did you indulge on any of the food?
I indulged on many foods. I think I went to the gym for nonstop the next day for like, I don't know how many hours. Because I must have eaten in a time span of an hour. I don't know how much calories. I entered into a food coma and I was sick and tired of food. But
nice.
You'll see it. You'll see it next Monday at 8 p.m. on the Travel Channel, Eastern Time. So if you are on the West Coast or the Midwest, make sure you check your local listings. But yeah, yours truly will be on the Travel Channel on Andrew Zimmern cool guy. And mind you, Randa, did you know that Andrew Zimmerman, loves MMA?
I did not, but that's very awesome.
Yeah, we had a lengthy conversation there because it so happened that on the day that we were shooting, there was a fight, and right now it escaped my mind what fight it was. I think it might have been Silva, maybe. Did Silva fight last December? Who fought last December? Not when Brock Lesnar fought. Because I know that was the 30th, I believe it was. But there was another pay-per-view during that time. Do you remember?
The one against Vitor Belfort?
Uh-huh. And who else?
Let me see.
I'm trying to remember, but whatever it was, there was a fight. It might have been Rashad. I keep in mind right now. But yeah, there was a fight going on, and I was talking to Andrew about the fight, and he is very good friends with Jenna Jameson. And Jenna Jameson happens to be the wife of P. Ortiz. So, cool guy. We spoke a little MMA. He loves sports. He loves football and so forth. So, but check it out next Monday at 8 p.m. Eastern Time. Check your local listings on the Travel Channel. Andrew Zimmern's Bizarre Foods. I'll be coming out there. And I do a little MMA stuff in there. You just have to check it out, man. Just putting that out there. Yeah. Just throwing it out there. I represent it. I represent it.
I'm going to have to DVR that.
Yeah. DVR, you know, all the MMA folks, you won't be discouraged. I got you, man. I got you. I totally do. All right. So, yeah, check out that video, guys, we just posted there where President John Prisco mentioned. Did you happen to catch that one little break? About what he said about
no,
the 5 years?
I'm loading it right now as we speak.
Yeah, and we're going to get try to see if we get a hold of Mr. Prisco here. I'd like to hear from himself as far as his thoughts. So. All right, so we left off before we went to break. Tao Sonnen and Rampage saying that he dislikes Tao Sonnen. He doesn't like that boy. But we also heard that Tao Sonnen is going to be changing weight classes. You think this fight could happen between these two?
It'd be interesting, you know, and especially now that Chael is considering going down to light heavyweight, and it's exactly the weight class that Rampage is currently fighting at, so it'd be an interesting fight, you know. I mean, Chael's throwing out the challenge towards John Jones, but obviously, I mean, he just lost his second title opportunity, so an immediate title shot isn't what you would consider for him, but a fight with Rampage would be an interesting beginning to his light heavyweight debut.
Oh, yeah. Can you imagine the trash talk those people are going to say?
Oh, my God. That'd be beautiful. I think they would actually throw fists at the weigh-in. I think that's or at a press conference. I believe there will be some Jerry Springer chairs being thrown or something would happen in a press conference to these two.
Oh, Lord, I just can't wait if that gets to happen because I know that those guys are just going to be nonstop talking about themselves. Ah, man, I just can't wait. All right, so I pulled up the website here where they have this interview of Mr. Prisco. Now, you're trying to watch it there?
Yeah.
And this is from MiddleEasy.com. And this gentleman interviewed him here. Well, Prisco called out Dana, hasn't formally called out Dana White just yet. He said that all of the top talent in MMA is not in the UFC, and even went so far to claim that XFC will be number one MMA promotion within 5 years. And again, you have to check out the entire thing. So he's basically saying, heck, you know, there's other talent out there, and we can market these guys to get at a status where these UFC guys are.
Yeah.
Is it possible? You never know. I mean, there might be a
you never know.
For that.
I mean, something can happen to, I mean, you never know if maybe a lawsuit hits UFC and that, you know, kind of, you know, anything can happen, you know. But right now, the main thing you got to look at is that UFC currently has the biggest name in the sport. And none of these other promotions have a name that can really shine in bright for lesser and lights as big as any of these names. Like, I mean, who in any other promotion do you think is as big as Anderson Silva?
Right.
You know, or John Jones right now, even after the DUI situation, there's nobody right now that's as big as a name as John Jones in any other promotion. And they can bring good fights. I'll give them that. They'll bring good fights. XFC brings good fights. Bellator brings you good fights. But unless you get those names that can be the poster boy, the cover of the company, I mean, that's where they where they'll lack. I mean, if they're picking up the, and I don't mean this in any kind of offensive way, but the sloppy seconds of UFC or the sloppy seconds of Bellator, then what good is that going to do? Like Andrei Arlovski right now, I mean, you love the guy. You loved what he used to be. But right now, he's jumping from promotion to promotion because he's just not that good anymore.
Right.
You know, and that's what these promotions are carrying. They're carrying these former names that are just not as big and as great as what you see in the UFC now, which is unfortunate because I would love for there to be more competition for the UFC.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but that's as far as you can get right now.
Yeah, and, you know, I've always seen it that, and I think we asked when it was down here with the promotion, being here in South Florida, there's a bunch of promotions that have come around, especially last year. I think it was like 3-4 promotions that came out, and two only basically lasted, and are still around. But if they would ever consider sort of like what Major League Baseball does, you know, sort of like a minor league system, where they can use these regional promotions to market, brand these fighters, make them good, and then bring them into a UFC.
But which is what like CFA is doing down here, you know, CFA.
Right.
They had Yoslandi Cuba Izquierdo be one of the people who won a title there, was undefeated, and was able to be picked up by UFC. Mike Rio went to Tough, and now,
right.
You know, he officially has one fight to go in his UFC. I don't know if he has multiple fights, but I know he's getting that opportunity at some point soon. He wasn't able to take advantage of opportunity sooner because of a rib injury, but he's going to be able to fight in the UFC soon on a fight card.
Mm-hmm. So I would see it that way, but you also got to remember that in business, you know, you always want to be better than the other, and I see that could be a clash, you know, because one company wants to outdo the other company. But John Revney of Bellator has come out and said personally, we do not want to compete with the UFC. That's not their intention.
Yeah.
We want to separate ourselves.
Yeah.
He has said that. And if you notice, he always try to dodge UFC. If the UFC has a pay-per-view at 9 p.m., they'll bump it up to 7 p.m. because they don't want to compete. They respect it.
Yeah.
So when you have another company saying this, you know, oh, we're going to do that and this, at least XC tried doing it. They tried to go head-to-head with the UFC. And mind you, they were the first one to actually have an MMA event showcased on national television.
Yeah.
Let's be honest, they were, and they held the record with Kimbo Slice.
And then that immediately ruined the hope of NBC ever wanting to deal with MMA again.
And that was the end of it. No more Elite XC was the end of that. Strikeforce followed up. You know, they went to CBS, same thing. And guess what? Sufa bought it. So we leave it up to there, and we've also seen now that the UFC wants to expand to other countries. They've even spoken about having regional titles, heck, continent titles. From here on out, it could just expand by the minute. And it's going to be very interesting in the next 10 years what exactly happens to mixed martial arts.
Yeah,
will it be like a boxing?
Way too ahead of the curve.
Yeah. I mean, will it be like a boxing and there's like 100 titles? Different promotions. We're just gonna have to wait and see. But you know, at this point right now, MMA is at a different level. Shortly, Randall, we're gonna have joining us here, special guest, Tashia Torres, better known as the Tiny Tornado. She actually, Randall, is a kickboxing world. She's gonna be competing in a kickboxing world championship this weekend. She has won in about 3 years, or the last 3 years she's been winning it there. She competes in the 115-pound female amateur MMA. She's an amateur MMA in the 115-pound weight class. So we're going to get a little side of the amateur for the girls. You know, we had a pro lady call in. Now we're going to have an amateur as far as what she's doing, and she has a phenomenal record, so we'll hear from her. All right, Randall, let's quickly review a little bit what happened on Strikeforce. Our boy George Mark Vidal came out on top. He defeated his opponent. And
yes,
the main event, I thought it was going to be a little better than that, but what was your overall?
I actually got exactly what I expected out of that, because both of them are not really super explosive fighters. Kennedy is known for taking people down and doing some GSP, ground and pound type of thing. So that's what I expected Kennedy to look for against Rockhold. And Rockhold, I knew he would bring a little bit of extra, you know, boom around every now and then and try and throw some crazy little kicks, especially because he's actually training with Kung Lee, I believe. So, I mean, I knew he was going to try and throw some of those. And he tried a few. It didn't really work out best for him, but he came out with the victory. But the one who impressed me the most and the one that, you know, at first I felt like he didn't deserve to be in that spot, but he definitely shut me up in that sense because he proved that he deserved to be there, defeating an undefeated welterweight in Tyrone Woodley was Nate Marquardt.
Mm-hmm. Well, many are saying that, and I don't know if you caught that, but a lot of the pundits and many of the MMA fans said, oh, well, how much of recognition does that title have? You know, Nate Marquardt, we haven't seen him fought ever since the whole PED thing he had with the UFC. He was let go. He comes in, he instantly gets a title shot, and he wins. So some of the folks are kind of upset because they said that in order for him to get a title shot, he should have earned it, not just walk in and automatically get a title shot.
Yeah. No, I understand, but this is what this is something I expressed heavily when it came down to our show on El Octagonal was, right now, tell me what other welterweight do you see in the Strikeforce welterweight division that merited to deserve an opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
If you go down the list, there is not one name right now that was in a title contention spot. None of them. Because if it wasn't that Nick Diaz destroyed them before he left the promotion, it's that Tyrone Woodley had already beat them. You know, I mean, you talk about Tyrick Stafferdine. You know, he got beat by Tyrone Woodley. So the only one that was left for that title was Tyrone Woodley or, I think who else was around there that could have fought in that division? I mean, there really wasn't anybody. I mean, that's the whole bare down point of it was that there was nobody else in Strikeforce in the welterweight division that deserved an opportunity. They brought Nate Marquardt, I believe, exactly for that opportunity.
Mm-hmm. And, well, Randall, on this Friday, Bellator will have an event. They're going to be in Tampa, Florida, actually. And you can see that on MTV2 this Friday night. They're going to have a couple of guys there that are going to be fighting on that card. The main event, Brian Baker versus Carl Mosul. Rudy Bear versus Paul Daly.
Making his Bellator debut.
Yep. Versus Attila Bay. Tim Carpenter. Versus Travis Reef and Washim Spirit Wolf, cool last name, versus Maurice Zaromski. That's going to be taking place in our preliminary card. You can see that on Spike.com, and it features Ben Sanders versus Brian Warren and a whole list of other guys. And then on Saturday, man, we got the whole UFC 149 with Uriah Faber versus Anand Barao for the interim bantamweight side of which I know this card was a headache for Dana White.
card. That's pretty much what it's been tagged with.
He said he officially called this one of the toughest cards that he has ever dealt with. Tim Boyce and Lombard.
But even with that, it's an impressive card. It is still a great card.
It is. You know, looking at it here on paper, I'm looking at it now. At first I'm like, eh. But looking at it, it's very interesting. You know, you got Tim Boyce versus Hector Lombard. That's going to be great because, you know, we'll see the first time Lombard comes in. And then Sean Jordan versus Chuck Congo. Congo always delivers. I don't care what people say, but Congo always delivers one way or another.
I hope he stops grabbing the cage. He needs to stop grabbing the cage and stop grabbing the shorts because I'm getting annoyed with him.
Well, you can tweet him. Maybe he'll listen to you. Yeah. Brian Ebersole versus James Head, and then Chris Clemens versus Matt Riddle. I think it's a great, great little card here we got. I think a surprising one. Don't you think that it's going to leave a lot of people like, I missed it, but darn, now that you tell me, I should have watched it.
Yeah, yeah, it's one of those cards that, I mean, it's one of those that people probably figured, you know, it's like, I mean, it's lost this fight, it's lost that fight, you know, that they don't want to really go for it, but I'm going to tell people right now, this is a card worthy of a purchase, regardless of all the injuries that it sustained. I mean, just right off the bat, that main card is just stacked with great fights that you're going to see. And the prelims, what you're going to get for free on FX and what you're going to get for free on Facebook itself, you know, are going to be fights to lead you to believe that. You know, they're going to be great fights that you're going to see tell you, you know, okay, maybe I should buy this card.
Yeah, no, definitely. See it. I myself, I'm going to go probably go to Mikosuke Bingo. Where do you usually watch your fights, Ram?
I usually do it in the comfort of my own home.
Can't go wrong with that.
Yeah.
So what's the score? I know you had mentioned it. 5-1 Marlins losing? Oh, boy.
Yeah, right now they're currently on a little bit of a bad streak.
Yeah.
Let's see what happens.
Well,
never know. We've seen comebacks lately.
Yes, sir. And by the way, guys, I'd like to invite you to the RodolphoRoman.com website. Check that out. You're going to get all the archives there of the past shows, all the interviews, all the action, all the fun. You'll get some articles. And last night, Brando, we had a very uplifting, and you can take that in a different term there, interview with, an adult actress, Sarah Jane. And trust me, gentlemen, you want to listen to that interview. She spoke about everything, even the kitchen sink. And
wow.
You won't be, you will definitely be talking about that. But it's one of those things, Randall, that you know about it, you just don't want to talk about it. But everyone wants to be curious. So head on over to RodolphoRoman.com. You'll listen to Sarah J. They have a bet going on. Well, they're actually going to live up to their word and live up to their bet because the Miami Heat won, and they're going to perform well. But she called it a gift to all of her followers. Listen to the entire interview at RodolphoRoman.com, and also listen to Andy Levine, who was on WWE's Tough Enough. He talks about wrestling in Puerto Rico. That's where he's at right now, Randall. He's trying to sharpen up his skills. And he said he says when he comes back, there's only one place he's coming to, and that's to the E. He is no longer going back to the minor league. He's going to the big dogs from the get-go. So,
I mean, now his name is in there. You know, if he comes back with sharpened tools, I'm sure they're going to take a good close eye on him. That's obviously why they chose him, because they believed his size, his stature was perfect for what they deserved in WWE. But, you know, hopefully he comes back better.
Yep. Well, we'll see that. And you can check that interview out at RodolphoRoman.com. You can't miss it out there. Also, guys, follow you're on Tout already, Randall, or not yet?
I'm sorry?
You're on Tout?
Am I on Tout yet?
Yes.
I already started checking it out. I'm going to send out my favorite Raw moments as it is today, actually. I'm going to send it out.
All right, sweet. Well,
see if I make it to the 1,000 Raw episode.
That would be nice. You know, I was shocked. I was shocked when I appeared on SmackDown the other day. I was like, what the heck?
Well, you picked a great moment. You did pick a great moment. It's one of those moments, the beer truck and the milk truck, one of the best moments
classic.
WWE history. You know, it is great.
Classic. And, in fact, follow me on Tout, at Roman DH. You can't get me wrong on that, man. At Roman DH, and that's on the website. Follow Randall on with Twitter, at Mr. Randall V. At Mr. Randall B. Before we bring in our next guest, Randall, I'd like to mention that it's set at UFC 151, Josh Koscheck versus Jake Ellenberger. This should be a nice one.
Yeah, this is an interesting one.
And
it's going to be, I really don't even know who to pick in that fight, because Josh Koscheck is great on his feet, got great wrestling, but Ellenberger has been, you know, really surprising a lot of people.
Yeah. Should be interesting, UFC officials announced the fight, saying it verbally, that they have had both these guys agree on the fight, so that's going to be an interesting one. I'm looking forward to that one come UFC 151. Should be an exciting one. You don't want to miss that one. All right, guys. On the line right now, Randall, we have none other than the talented Tashia Torres, better known as the Tiny Tornado Torres. She will be competing. Tashia, are you there?
It's Tisha. I'm here.
Oh,
thank
Tisha.
You.
I'm sorry, Tisha. You know, they put me the name here, but I didn't say it there. I just, Torres is a lot better. But the Tiny Tornado. So you competed in the 115-pound division there in the amateur MMA. Tell us a little bit about yourself. I know you're going to be competing in the kickboxing world championship this weekend. Introduce yourself for the folks who get to know you a little bit more.
My name is Tisha Torres, a.k.a. the Tiny Tornado. I live in Fort Lauderdale, Florida. I train out of American Top Team Coconut Creek. I'm currently 7-0 as an amateur MMA artist. I started with a Muay Thai kickboxing background. I have about, 17 Muay Thai fights and 7 MMA, so I have 24 fights. I have a lot of amateur fights. I'm ready to go pro now. I just fought on Monday. I got my third amateur MMA title with American Battleship Championship. I fought Amber Stoutenberger out of Texas. It was a good fight. That's about it. So now I have 3 titles in MMA, and I have 3 world titles in kickboxing. And like you said, I'm going to go this weekend to Orlando on Friday. I'll compete in the world championships there. I'll have either 2 or 3 fights. Definitely 2. If I win my first fight on Saturday, I'll go for the belt on Sunday.
And Tisha, now, how old were you when you started first training in MMA?
MMA, I started about 1.5 years ago, but I had my first kickboxing bout right after I turned 19 in 2008, and then I did about a dozen of them, and after that I started doing jiu-jitsu about 3.5 years ago, like a little bit after I started Muay Thai. And then, I found out, I never knew what MMA was until I started jiu-jitsu. I, like, saw Gina Carano, and I was like, hey, I want to do that. So then once I got my blue belt, I said, let's start working towards MMA. I made my debut in September. It's not even been 10 months later. I've had 7 successful MMA fights, and I just think it's time to go pro now. I wanted to go pro with Muay Thai, but unfortunately, if you go pro in one aspect, you have to go pro in the other. So I, got my experience with MMA, and I think I'm ready to go pro now.
And Tisha, what, you're going to be 23 now in August?
Yep, my birthday's about less than a month away. I'll be 23.
Nice. So I'm not sure if you caught the show earlier, but we have some of the fighters here of Alexis Davis who will be fighting in Invicta FC. Would that be one of the locations you'd like to compete in Invicta FC?
Yes, most definitely. What Invicta has done for female fighters is amazing. Janet and Shannon and all the people behind the scenes with Invicta are just amazing. I believe their inaugural show had a live stream for free, and it's going to be for free again on July 28th. So I'll put it out there. Watch it, because those girls are amazing, including Alexis. She's really nice. I've gotten gotten to train with her when she trained at Pablo's once. I'm nothing for a warm-up, but it was really nice. But I think their inaugural show had, I believe, 250,000 people watching. So if that says anything about women's MMA, when people say, women's MMA can't headline something, I think they're very wrong. So I think what they're doing will be like the UFC for women. So definitely that is where I want to be. We'll see if it happens.
And Tisha, now you train with an American Top Team. You also train a little bit with Jessica Aguilar?
Actually, Jessica trains during the day, and I work during the day, so we really have different schedules, but I recently, got in touch with her, and we're going to try to work out something where I can start training with her, because, she competes at the weight class that I compete at, and she's, number one in the world as a pro, so I look up to her very much so I look forward to getting to train with her and try to work out our schedules together.
Hey, Tisha, now, being that you just started, you're pretty fresh to the MMA, in a professional level. But do you see more girls going into MMA now?
Most definitely. I think with more shows allowing females, like I've seen a lot of shows at least putting at least one female show on a card, it's letting other females see that there is the capability of women to, do well and just to, not even to compete some. They're just getting in for self-defense purposes. So I think they are just, seeing it as more of a more approachable for women to do it now.
Gotcha. Randy, you have a question for Keisha?
Well, yeah, I wanted to ask, I mean, now that you've decided to go pro, I mean, is there any of added pressure to you? I mean, obviously, you feel you're ready for it, but is there any added pressure to the day that you do make that debut, the pro debut? And do you feel any added pressure for that moment?
Definitely, especially since I've gone undefeated as an amateur. I see the pressure to, you know, win and put on a good show. But, I mean, it's all in my head. I know I'm gonna choose the right opponent for my debut, of course. And I'm just going to be ready for everything. Like I said, I believe my debut will be in about 2 or 3 months, so I'll have a solid, 8 to 10 week camp, and I just think I'll be perfecting everything during that time, and I don't just look for good things. So I guess there's pressure there, but then not really, because I think I'm my biggest challenge. As long as I go in there ready, I'll be fine.
Great. And Tisha, again, so you're competing this weekend, but American ABC, American Battle Championship. I have several promotions out there. So what are the stuff, where can people follow you so they can keep updated with all your upcoming fights?
My personal Facebook, or I have a fan page, Tisha the Tiny Tornado Torres. I don't have Twitter yet, but I will have that very soon. I was told I need to get one as soon as possible from some people. But definitely through there. I'm always posting online. But, ABC is a really good promotion here in South Florida. I mean, they're brand new, so we're up and coming, making a big show. The last show was really big for them. And I think their next show is August 20th, and I'll probably be one of the judges that night. So if you're in South Florida, come out to their show.
Sweet. Well, Tisha, thanks so very much. And everybody, follow her there on Facebook, Tisha Torres, the Tiny Tornado. Good luck this coming weekend.
Thank you so much. Thank you for guys having me on the show.
Thank you. Thank you. Anytime. Thank you. All right, Randall. Well, there you heard it. We got a pro, and then we got an amateur going pro now. Tisha Torres there, and good luck to you this weekend and all of your future endeavor. I'm sure the next time we'll have you here, we'll be talking to a person who had perhaps your first professional victory. So, Randall, coming this weekend, we were talking about your favor. Another thing that some folks were saying, and I had a comment from one of the listeners here saying that Uriah Faber, for some apparent reason, is not the guy that people think he is as far as when it comes to pay-per-view sales. Do you agree with that? I think that in the West Coast, Uriah Faber obviously is a big draw.
Yeah, I mean, obviously when he was in the WEC and he was at the top of his prime and he was demolishing everybody in front of him, he was one of those that you could have imagined that would have been able to sell out any pay-per-view card. At this point in time, this is the only concern. Obviously, he's a great, exciting fighter. This is a guy who went, fully 5 rounds with Mike Brown with 2 broken hands. This is a guy that's fought through different broken bones in his body and still finished the fight. He's been one of the most impressive lighter weights you've ever seen. He was the face of WEC for so long. It's a complicated issue, but I do understand where people would come from. But I still believe that he's still a big draw just because he's that much of an exciting fighter and that big of a name in the sport itself. A lot of people would relate Uriah Faber, and if you hear that name, people immediately know to recognize MMA itself. So he's one of those recognizable names, I believe. But I do understand the thought that maybe he's not that big of a draw. The sad part about this card is that not too many people know about Henan Barao. And, this is a guy who hasn't lost since his first fight. His first fight is his only loss. And ever since then, he's 28-1 with a no contest. It's going to be a great fight, man. I actually think that Barao might actually pull out a victory in this fight card.
Yeah, some of them are comparing him to a Jose Aldo.
He's a great, great fighter. I mean, if people haven't really seen this guy fight, then they need to go back online and search for some tapes, search for some videos. I'm sure you'll see some on there, but the guy is a finisher. He's a great fighter. He's very fast, and it's going to be a tough task for Uriah Faber to come out with a victory here. I mean, it's not going to be an easy fight, and he himself recognized that Barao is actually a tougher test than Dominic Cruz. So, I mean, just for him, and obviously you want to hype up a fight, but I really feel like he understands that and sees that, because Dominic Cruz being a great fighter, Barao is one of those that could have been a contender a long time ago already.
Right. Well, Randall, that pretty much does it for us. I'd like to, again, invite all of you guys to head on over to RolphLomer.com, the website, check out all the interviews of our past guests. And next Tuesday, we will have Jesse Neal, a former TNA superstar, on the wrestling show on Tuesday, which really the Tuesday show has been more than just wrestling, Randall, knowing that last night we had an adult actress. And I, like I told Johnny Knockout yesterday, and just a few days from now, we're going to have a guy, Randall. We all remember the Superman dance, right? Remember the Superman dance, right?
Yeah.
Well,
sorry.
We're going to have
very much recalling.
We're going to have the creator of a new dance called the toe tapping. So the creator of the toe tapping will be on the show soon, as well as a personal trainer who has trained several celebrities will be on the program. And you know, I think a very important question would be to this guy is try to compare, guys, the type of workouts that MMA guys do and how do they lose weight compared to what a personal trainer would say, you know, because their way of losing weight is completely different compared to your average Joe. So we'll go a little inside into that. And we've seen some fighters that go in there exhausted, dehydrated, because the day before they were trying to lose like 20 pounds. So I'd love to get the feedback there, you know, on those guys. And get that in. Final thought, Randall?
Well, final thoughts is a great show. It was great to hear from a pro, from an amateur going pro. I always love to get different perspectives and get an idea of different views, especially with questions like the pressure with rankings and just like the pressure for Tisha with going from amateur to pro. Those are always questions that you wonder, you know. It has nothing to do with the current fight they got coming up, but it's always those questions that you have to wonder what's going through a fighter's mind at that time. So I always love asking those and getting an honest answer, you know, where you feel like, okay, yeah, that's definitely as truthful as you can probably be about it. But, man, I'm excited about this weekend. Bellator coming back already with a new fight card. And obviously, it's UFC 149. I'm very excited to see what happens with Hector Lombard. And hopefully, you know, our local resident favorite comes out with a victory, and let's see if he's able to challenge Anderson for that title shot, man.
Yeah, I'll be definitely rooting for our boy Hector Lombard. Is that biased? Does that make us biased? We just totally lost our credibility.
I mean, if you work for the company itself, then you know I would imagine that'd be biased or whatever. And just like you know, when you're at the actual fights, you know we can't physically cheer for anybody when we're you know reporting the fights, the results or anything there, because obviously we have to be neutral in the situation with the commission there looking at you. You can't be cheering or jumping up and down and yelling instructions or anything like that. So, but I mean, obviously everybody has a right to an opinion, and you know, I feel like that's as part of the media. Obviously, I respect him, Boyd Chalai. He's a great fighter. The guy's another one that could be a heavy contender in the middleweight division. But you know, us Miamians, Floridians want Hector Lombard to get up in there and showcase his talents up in the UFC.
That's great. And you're right about that. Guys, again, Misha Tate will be here the first Wednesday of August. And next week we're going to have two guys, Rock George and Phil DeRue. Rock will be fighting in Alabama. And Phil's fighting at RFC 27. Actually, Phil is fighting at 27th, and Rock is fighting at 28th, so they're pretty much back-to-back, so they'll be out here talking a little bit about these upcoming fights, Randall. So very interested to see what these gentlemen have to say, you know?
Yeah.
And Tuesday, 9:30 p.m., make sure, again, that you listen to the Roman Show as we talk pro wrestling, entertainment, and the whole nine yards. And, again, please listen to that
interview. On that point, I do want to mention congratulations to John Cena on getting his divorce settled.
Oh, really? He did?
Yes, it's settled. The settlement is private, like on what they came, but apparently the war ended peacefully. That's what's being reported, that apparently his former wife you know, toned it down a little bit, and they were able to come to terms with an agreement, and there was a happy divorce there. So, yeah.
Now, did you see,
I'm sure there'll be a lot of ladies.
The picture of him and the briefcase saying, you know, I got it settled, and he's holding up the briefcase up in the air.
A meme. It's a John Cena meme. Nice.
It's going to be a great show next Monday, so make sure you tune in if you're a wrestling fan. I know some of the guys are only like for wrestling, but if you are, tune in. It's going to be fun. But that being said, man, make sure if you missed the entire show, no worries. We got you covered. Head on over to RodolphRoman.com. You can listen to the entire episode in its entirety. And esa persona que habla en español, visiten eloctagono.com. Para darse todo lo que está pasando en el mundo de las artes marciales mixtas. And Rando, I know you and El Octagono, we're going head to head. We are nominated, both you guys and the Roman Show, for best media when it comes to internet and the Florida MMA Awards. I know we're going head to head, but since you're on my show, vote for the Roman Show. When I'm on your show, you can say vote for the Octagono. So follow the link. If you head on over to RodolphRoman.com, you'll see the link, the banner there. Click on that sucker and vote. If not, then I will tell you what, man. If I win, I'll cut the thing in half and we'll share it. Is that decent?
Yeah, that sounds good for me. That sounds good for me.
That's decent. If not, just rock bottom you on top of the fingers. If not, we'll figure it out. All right, guys. With that being said, we'll see you on Tuesday night here on the program. Again, reminder, we got Misha Tate August 1st and Rock and Phil. Sounds pretty cool, huh? Wednesday here on the Roman Show. So stay tuned via Twitter at RomanDH. Follow Randall at Mr. Randall B. And with that being said, ladies and gentlemen, have yourself a wonderful evening and enjoy the fight this weekend. And whatever you do, don't drink and drive. Good night, guys.